Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I got
You.
it. Yeah.
Tend to sort of like a laugh comes out of me when I sort of when it, I guess when I think about say Ramakant says don't stress. And it has a calming effect to think of that. And then, for example, thinking of that kind of brings out a giggle in me because I guess it's because I'm laughing at my tendencies to stress that, are kind of just their own thing and don't really have to affect me. But it also reminded me of a fight I got into when I was a kid. And me and this guy are wailing on each other with our fists. We were, about 10 years old, 11 maybe. And this guy was, he was, I guess, I forget, I don't what you call a slightly mentally challenged person, slightly, I forget what they call those kind of people now. But he was always a bully type. He was constantly bullying us. And he had a nice side too, but he sometimes his bully side would come out. And we're wailing on each other with our fists, and he's like laughing. He's just laughing and laughing. I think, how can I fight this guy when he's laughing? And but I just we just both kept going and going. Eventually his laugh turned to a cry. We went at it for a long time. It was pretty long. And I don't know, just kind of made me think it's kind of the same thing in a way. It's like he was laughing, even though, well, he probably wasn't feeling the pain too much at the time, but I don't know, it just seemed like sort of the same principle of the body laughing at its own kind of pain. And like sometimes you can get a pain and it makes you laugh. I'm pretty sure most people have experienced that. Because pain can kind of make you laugh sometimes. But anyway, and then I was also thinking about how, okay, I'm getting a very gradually, slowly, I'm getting stronger recognition of the self-evident presence of what whatever is not my normal state of consciousness. But I slightly lost my train of thought. Oh, I was thinking of how I still get stressed on things, like when I'm pressured for time. Like these people came over today and they're getting all this information about my utilities. I was supposed to be over my getting over to my girlfriend's, and they're holding me up, and it's taking them way longer than even they expected. And but then I guess it's getting a little bit easier to de-stress, but I guess does it ever come a point where there's very little stress where stuff like that doesn't affect you while it's happening?
When you know yourself in a real sense, it's just scenes appearing and disappearing. You don't have a concept of an object in time and space that creates this, oh, I have to be somewhere. You just literally just I you just there. Like the scene is there and whatever is happening is happening. And girlfriend calls and says, hey, you're supposed to be here. Oh, okay, I'm just held up with this thing. Da da da. That's it. But it's all spontaneous. There's no there's a lot of mentating from what you're speaking about, and it's just not like that. When you know yourself in a real sense, none of everything that you've been talking about will occur. Like the whole idea of, I mean, you can, of course, you're gonna laugh. You laugh at something that's funny. You watch something and it laugh, it's funny. Also, when you really start to get to know yourself, you will laugh at how ridiculous you thought, you know, everything was so ridiculous. Like, you will laugh at yourself, no doubt. Like, wow, I cannot believe that I used to believe that I was actually a body in a world having experiences with a lifespan that would be born and die. Like, that is the most ridiculous, silly thing I can ever think of because I know myself in a real sense. How can formlessness be in any way affected by a form? Light a match in this room and the space is not affected. Like nothing can affect this formlessness that you are. Nothing. Like you know yourself in a real sense, and all of this is arising on your spontaneous presence due to the fact that you are having this body available. The body's just a telescope to see inside of your own self and see all the other kind of five elements enjoying themselves and coming and going and disappearing and all this sort of stuff. But you know it's all happening in me, just again, as in dream. You might laugh in your dream. You might laugh when you wake up, so to speak, from a dream because you realize, oh my God, that looked really real. Like I really thought that that was real, you know? Maybe you were dreaming some kind of a thing with a friend. And then you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, good. My friend is not angry with me. We weren't actually arguing or something like this because it was just a dream. When you know yourself in a real sense, this waking experience is laughable because it is not. And there's no way it can be.
It's gradually becoming more clear that
There's no way you can be an individual. It just doesn't make sense.
individual things aren't really happening either.
I
Well,
mean,
then,
it's like a dream. It's a show.
yeah.
And all of it came out of your formlessness. And the quote, five elements created this seeming world. As in, again, dream. In dream. That's why we don't want to get too much into five elements, because that gives it to mind. And mind loves that kind of stuff. Trying to figure out which element came first or what dissolves into what. Or who cares? Because you fall down asleep and boom, a dream world is spontaneously created. All the elements automatically, spontaneously are populating this supposed world. And all these little dream bodies are moving about. And then you identify with one of the dream bodies to create a story. Excuse me. to create a story. But all the talking, all the activities, all the experiences were occurring within the dream. When you wake up, you know this. When you know yourself in a real sense, you'll know this waking dream, this so-called waking state, birth, death, life, all these sort of things were just nothing. Like, just like in the Matrix, they say, oh, you concentrate on bending the spoon. No, the knowledge is there is no spoon. They say that in the Matrix. He's like, oh, you see, you concentrate to make this spoon bend.
Yes, says, yes.
No, you know there's no spoon.
Beautiful.
You stop giving attention to these seemingly important things, the illusory passing show. If you don't give importance to it, it bends. It dissolves before you,
yes.
Because
yes.
You're not staking a claim with a limited identification that this cannot happen or this should be happening different. These are happenings, scenes appearing and disappearing. You have nothing to do with it.
I just
Thank you,
read,
John, for the clarity.
I just read a part of Master Self-Realization in getting towards the back of the book. He said that when you get recognition or whatever you call it, you're able to actually change what's happening or something. You can control it and bend it, make it happen.
What?
If you
no
want
no
to.
No it happens according to your will, because you know that you want nothing different, because all is happening exactly as it should within your own self, and it's not actually occurring, nor is there anyone to be affected. When he says you can make things happen, it's because you're no longer identified with a limited body form that wants something to happen. You know, that's why they talk about like thy will not mine be done type thing, because what is happening, but you're not wanting anything different. When you identify with a flow of thoughts, I don't like what's happening, this is where the resistance comes in.
Correct.
And this is a silliness. Once you know yourself in a real sense, that won't happen.
But the way it's written in the book, it makes it sound like you can actually change it and make it
How?
happen.
Ooh.
Other than what is happening.
You
That's
must be reading it in a different, no.
Yeah,
I believe it's not. And remember, don't do the words. The idea is that it's the power behind the words. What is the power? The conviction. You're listening to Sri Siddhamashara Maharaj. Conviction is speaking as selfless self. That's all it is. It's not reading.
It kind of reminded me of like when I used to have lucid dreaming. I could make things go the way I wanted to during a dream.
Again, illusion. Who cares? That's what Siddhamesha Maharaj actually bashes the heck out of people who want powers. He said these siddhas. You know, if you're sitting there doing meditation and you want the siddhas and you want to grow big or small or any of these sort of things, who cares? Like if somebody gave you the power right now to create who knows what just by thought, why would you do this? Because you will definitely be tied to the illusion. And if you are tied to the illusion by its nature is punishing, because it's not your reality.
Yes,
so therefore
yes.
it cannot sustain itself. There can't be an illusion that's like constant and irrefutable. That's reality. Not illusion. Illusion is the what appears on the constant of the reality that you are. So if you were given powers, I mean, quite frankly, you're done. Like now you're in the illusion, because you'll be sitting there, oh, look, I have these powers. And of course you want to show them to others, which there are no others. You're just showing them to your own self, and basically you're murdering yourself. I think Siddharth Maharaj says you're committing suicide because you're totally identified with the body and deeper and deeper and deeper into the illusion. Now I have powers, and I can show these powers to all these other people. And they say, oh, you're a great master. And I, oh, yes, I am a great master. What? You're so lost in the illusion that when a doctor then comes to you and says, you know what, Keith, you have cancer. I think you'll be dead in 6 months. Well, now you have to accept the cancer on the body of Keith because you're identified as Keith with powers and deep in the illusion. And now the torment and the fear and the torture of thinking about, oh, I'm going to die of cancer. I'm going to die of cancer. You're not going to die. But this thought stream identified with as I am dying of cancer is due to the fact that the thought stream was identified with, I am a very great master. That's why, like Siddharmeshwar Maharaj says, you know, or actually it was Sri Ramakant Maharaj in, I think, Selfless Self, that talked about, don't become a sannyasin or sannyase or whatever it is, and you know, wear the beads and the long hair and change your name to, you know, oh, I am now. Because I did that at first. I said Guru Putra. I noticed it in the Master of Self-Realization, and I put on my Facebook page Guru Putra, as in son of the guru. And that's fine while you're still identified with a body form. When you know yourself in a real sense, you're not going to change your name. Why? The name that is labeled for the body isn't you at all. So I'm not going to say I'm like Sri John or Sri John Guru Putra or Sri John. No. Maharaj bashes that. It's like, change your name. Why? To grow your hair. Why? Decorating the body that you have to understand with conviction that you are not. And how are you going to decorate this body and then also know I'm not the body? I'm not the body, but I want to decorate it with the garlands and I want people to bow at my feet. I mean, that's the most excellent thing, right? We have all the followers. Oh, very good. That's body, all body. Well, he does. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah. Well, all that's all that's totally relevant. I guess there is as far as a lucid dream goes, something I get. Well, I guess it's just a dream. So even though you're
dream within a dream,
even though you're thinking you're getting what you want in the dream, say if things go the way you like them to go in the dream, that's still just a dream.
A dream within a dream. Like, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. In your dream tonight, the guru comes to you and says, you are not body, you're formless reality, and you should not ever think you're a body, and you're just dreaming. But you're never going to wake up from this dream until you understand yourself in a real sense. And then, boom, realization occurs. And then you wake up. So the dream within a dream. But when you wake up, it's only the knowledge. And when we speak about knowledge, it's not knowledge like body-based knowledge. Knowledge is to know yourself in a real sense. Maharaj hammers that home all the time. No knowledge is knowledge. Knowledge is to know yourself in a real sense. And the reason the power is behind the words is the conviction, I am not body. Mm-hmm. And you begin to behave like this in your daily life. Maharaj says, take one step, Master takes the next step for you. If you're constantly in fear and hovering and, oh, I don't know what to do and all this kind of stuff, it's not good. You take one step, you know? You behave like a Brahmin, in other words. And again, I'm not speaking about, oh, I need many followers and people bowing to my feet and putting garlands and all this. That is not. Living like Brahmin is facing every single moment as it arises, and then it's finished. Arises and it's finished, which is what is happening anyway It's just this thought frame, thought train identified with as I'm having these thoughts about whatever the heck happens to be happening, which is not happening. So once you don't have this identification with a body form, you're formlessly just scenes are appearing and disappearing before you. And it doesn't affect your life or your job because in reality, that is what has always been happening. It's just this identification with a body form that creates this concept that I'm doing all these things or I need to do more or I need to concentrate on this thing over here. No. Like Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities as they arise in the moment. You're not going to sit down and make a whole list of all your responsibilities and then plan them out and all that. There's no planning because there's no you. And you're not so concerned with 10 years from now, where will I be? Well, you'll be exactly where you are now and 10,000 years from now and 10,000 years before now. You don't change.
You're always present, and that's the only place you can be, really.
You are. That's the only reality. And the knowledge of you are, when you know this you are, that's the illusion right away.
What would you say that again?
When you know the you are, that is the beginning of illusion. You are. You no need to know you are, and there's nothing else to know. Nor is there the faculty of knowing. Once you know you are, then you have illusion. And now you start to know so many things.
Yeah, that's for sure. Simple fact.
You say, I don't know. And not, I don't know, like some kind of kindergarten exercise. What's this? I don't know. Answer this question. I don't know. What's over there? I don't know. No, I don't know anything prior to body and body knowledge. And everything that came with the body is not knowledge. It's knowledge within the illusion and can be discarded because knowledge within the illusion, that is just like knowledge within your dream and you wake up in the morning. What good was that knowledge? What good was that whole experience? All you have to do is dream one time that you're in water and then wake up in your bed and there's no water and understand you're not wet. And yet, look how the spirit, as Maharaj would say, is impressed of the experience due to association with the body. Within the dream, the experience of swimming or being wet was so profoundly real that when you woke up, it was almost a shock that you're not wet. Or out of breath if you're running and you wake up, or if you're very frightened and you wake up, there's nothing here to be frightened about.
We compare a dream of swimming with the supposed body actually swimming, and
because of identification with the dream body, you believe I am swimming. But who's swimming and how? You lay down to sleep, formlessly, a form dream world is created, and you're swimming in that dream world. And then you wake up. You're not wet. You're not swimming. You were never swimming. But because of identification with the body and how fast it is impressed, how fast you identify with a body form within the dream, you have the experience of swimming. And now when you know yourself in a real sense, you no longer have that identification with the body. Yes, due to long association with the body, you really have to investigate. Because when somebody says, oh, you're not a body, go out anywhere and say, hey, by the way, you're not the body. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, very good. No. And it's conviction through investigation, because I can tell you you're not the body. Maharaj can tell you you're not the body. You can read about Siddhameshwar Maharaj saying you're not the body, but you have to have a direct experience of your own selfless self, which is where mantra and meditation come in. Oh, so that I am that. Just I. Very subtle sense of presence. Okay. Now, the knower of the sense of presence, whether presence is there or not, I am. The entire world appears upon presence. I can eliminate all the world and the presence. And yet, where all experience ends, there you are. You cannot eliminate yourself. Because who would even be there to know that you've eliminated yourself? You can't say, oh, I am no more.
You can't not be.
Yeah. It's just that as you're appearing now is not your true self. It's not your true nature. It's just an illusory appearance within your own self. The same as a dream. That's why if you really even just, as Maharaj would say, if you think intellectually about the dream, you will immediately see, oh, so the body that I believe myself to be is laying down. And dream consciousness comes about. A whole world explodes. I identify with one of these characters in the dream. And I believe myself to be that because it's impressed immediately. And therefore, I'm going about and I'm experiencing. And in a dream, you can knock on wood and it's solid wood. You know,
yeah.
You can get in a car and drive around and all. It's solid. It's not.
Yes.
But that is the illusion. Because you know when you wake up, that all came formlessly. There is no like erector set or construction of the dream like they do for movie sets. They say, okay, we're going to shoot this and we're going to be on this stage and we need this stage to look like a casino. So we have to construct a casino. No, you spontaneously, a casino, if you're dreaming that you're in a casino, has been created. All these five elements that we talk about explode onto the scene and create. And then this five elemental body is in the dream as you're identified, and they're speaking and listening and all this sort of stuff. But when you wake up, you know, oh, none of that was true. Knowing yourself in a real sense, you can look out and know none of this can be true. How am I able to interact with this world? The body laying down sleeping has no ability to interact with the world created in the consciousness of dream. And the you that you are has no ability to interact with the world that is occurring within your own self in the, quote, waking dream.
I'm kind of I'm starting to get a sense of what, yeah, that's true.
And now the biggest hurdle. So my life didn't mean anything. This is an ego trap, like the last kind of stage of a thought process identified with, because it's like, oh, so I'm that. And then immediately to keep alive, like some CPR at the last minute, the thought comes, so my life didn't mean anything at all? Like nothing? Like I'm nothing? And yet, when you understand, you are that.
So you're not even affected by that thought.
Because you're not identified with anything that thought can stick to. It's like the last kind of, you know, you could say the mind is like, oh, one last shot before you go. And before the mind then has to bow to you, basically, because you're the master, not the mind. That's where they talk about the mouse that rides on the elephant. And it's like, wait a minute. No. This mind has been dictating to you. Now you know there is no mind at all. And there's not a you on which some flow of thought can stick. It's like if you were to put a dam in a river, the water it hits, it can't go any further. So it like blocks. But if there's no dam, it's just a flow. And there's no interest in what's going, you know, a thought comes, I'm hungry. Okay, this is a body-based necessity, a body-based problem, or not problem, but a body-based challenge. I am hungry. I need to feed myself. You have to provide food. You have to provide water. Okay. If you're worried about, oh, you know, traffic is so terrible, I should just sleep in tomorrow. But nothing's happened. There's no you. Spontaneously in the moment. I'm sure you've discovered that when you sit there and think about what you want to do for the day, you can become so lost in thought in creating all these illusory worlds about what you want to do for the day. And then as soon as you cease all this kind of stuff, you'll notice that you're just naturally going through the day. But you can become paralyzed in this illusory thought due to the fact that you have the ability to create all these illusory worlds and live in them. Well, why do this? This is why what you were talking about when we very first got on, about the worry and the struggle and the strife. You're struggling with your own self about imaginary things that are never going to happen and that are not happening. And nothing can happen. And yet, identifying with the flow of thoughts of this is going, you know, this is, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. I don't know if I feel like doing this. Oh, I'm not sure. And then the body, and that's why mantra is beautiful, because as you're doing mantra throughout the day, you will automatically notice that your body's going through everything that is needed to go through without a you there believing yourself to be guiding and dictating every single little moment.
So what appears to be decisions of,
well, who decides and how? The you that you are has no decision, has no nothing. This illusory body-based illusion, within it, there can be decision. And within the illusion, you'll create the concept of outcome of decision. Like if you do wrong things, if you go out right now and say, you know what, it's an illusory world, I'm going to go rob a bank, I don't care, it's an illusion, right? Well, then you're going to do time in an illusory prison. And it won't be pleasant.
Yes.
So that's why as things are arising spontaneously, you just...
Well, it won't matter if it's pleasant or not, right?
Well, I don't know how well you have the conviction that you are not body when five large gentlemen approach you in prison.
You seem to be contradicting it. You seem to be contradicting what you were saying, though, that you're, you know, in one point you're not affected, but now you're saying you are affected.
Well, because, again, the conviction I am not body, you know, yeah. Oh.
So are you affected or not?
Body goes through what it's going to go through. If you're identified with the body. And, you know, depending on the extremes, like if the body was on fire, I'm quite certain you're going to be in so much pain because of the body sending the signals that you're going to, oh, you know, this is terrible.
But all that's also changing and will end. It'll go back to being where you are.
Well, because nothing's actually happening to you. But think about even in your dream. If a log fell on your leg and you felt your leg being broken, in a dream, the pain will seem real because of identification with a little dream body.
Yes.
That's why if a problem comes with the body, you go to the doctor. You don't just say, oh, well, it's illusion. The body's going to take care of itself. No, the body won't take care of itself. The doctor is like a mechanic for your car. If something is there, you should go to the doctor and get it checked out. As Maharaj says, you don't sit there and say, oh, I'm a spiritual man. I'll just meditate through this problem. No, doctors are there. Have a doctor. Take care of the body. But don't be oh so overly concerned. But it's a house, yeah? And as long as you're renting the house, why not keep it in good shape? The same as if you rented a house or you bought a house, you're not going to let it just go to disrepair. And yes, it's only for a time, but you want to take care of it.
So
but
the
again,
type of
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The type of the thoughts arises, and it depends upon the identification.
Well, the thoughts are arising, and identification is how you identify with a thought as my thought. This is important to me. But thoughts are just flowing thoughts. Like there's so many thoughts that are flowing, and you're kind of in picking and choosing through identification of this is the thought relating to me, or this is an important thought. Maharaj says which thoughts to choose, which not thoughts to choose are up to you. Most of the thoughts flow by, but a thought, I'm thirsty, this is a thought you can choose, and okay, no harm done. A thought, I would like to go outside and walk my dog, or I would like to go to the store. Okay, it's a thought, but you use it and discard it. The person